So some Rashi's for a forgotten Parsha. Parshas Hazin was bookended by Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So everyone has their minds back on Yom Kippur, forward on Sukkot. I'm in the car doing all the errands there of Sukkot, trying to get everything done. So I don't know how many Rashi's I'll be able to record. But on the very famous Pasuk, Zechor Yemos Olam Binu Shinos Dor Vador, very appropriate, look back to the past. And as Rashi says, look to the future. Zechor Yemos Olam means look back at history, at previous generations. Binu Shinos Dor Vador, you and I would say, it's just a repetition. Just like the first part of the Pasuk refers back to studying earlier generations, Binu Shinos Dor Vador, think about the the unique dynamics of each previous generation. Rashi splits the pasuk. Rashi says, as I alluded to earlier, Zechayim Asalam, look back to the past. Binish Nos Dor Vadar, look to the future, to Mashiach, to I think Olam Haba, I don't have the Rashi in front of me, and look back and to the future so that you can avoid betrayal, maintain religious discipline, look back at people who betrayed HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what their ends were. In particular, there are references throughout Parshas Hazino to the Dor HaMabul, to Dor Enosh, to earlier generations who were lost in chaos and confusion and mayhem, and unfortunately were were administered to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And interestingly enough, look to the future and think about all the future promises of Bimas Mashiach, Olam Haba, and either of these two will help you regulate your Avodas Hashem, your discipline, your faith. Now, what's interesting, again, I don't have the Rashi in front of me, but if you're listening, you can look in Rashi. But Rashi says that, and if you're not able to appreciate it from the past, you're not able to succeed through Zechor Yemos Olam, then look to the future. It sounds from Rashi as if there are two different processing, and that they're very different, and that there are people who can draw lessons from the past, but at least it's implied they may not be able to draw those same lessons in the future. And vice versa, there are people who have an easier time looking to the future, harder time looking to the past. We don't often think about it that way. We think about there are two different horizons, two different fields of study. We study the past, we study the future, in general, for moral instruction, and in this case, for religious bolstering. But Rashi, based on the Pasuk, believes that some can draw from the past, but have a harder time drawing from the future. Some can draw from the future, have a harder time drawing from the past. And the truth is, when we take a second to think about it, it does register. Some people have an easier time learning from the past. They're students of history. They don't want to repeat the mistakes of history. They understand the past. It's harder for them to envision an open-ended, open-terminist, non-predetermined future because the world feels so cyclical. And they train themselves to see patterns and repeating models. So there's almost a messianic fatalism that sets in. Well, the world has a certain rhythm, and the world has a certain repeating cyclical nature, and it's built into history. And the notion that things could change, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes I hear, and I think about it myself, how will there possibly be korbanos? It's so offensive, and it's bloodletting, and the Beis HaMikdash filled with streams of blood, and how could we possibly want a monarchy? And it's hard to imagine that part of the future is not just a revolution of events and of politics and of religion, but of consciousness. Because Baruch will give us a new set of consciousness, a set of ideas, possibly, to see things we can't see now. But for people who are so ardently attentive and sensitive to the past, it's harder to imagine a future that doesn't accord with all of this accumulated past history. And vice versa. Some people who are so future-oriented, and we would call them apocalyptic, and they sense a great and bold future, have a harder time learning from the past. The past seems arcane. The past seems outdated. The past seems failed. In Israel, it's a major, major, major issue. And part of the reason, I don't like to use the word off the derech, because in Israel, it's a very, very, very different phenomena. But a lot of people in Israel have a hard time looking back to tradition and halacha as part of tradition and minhag as part of tradition because the future seems so bold and new and fresh and revolutionary and redemptive. And in part, it redeems not a failed past, but a weak past and a suffering past and a victimized past. So given those polarities, adults can merge the two and can see a continuum from past to future. But I think younger people have a much, much harder time. And the past feels irrelevant. And it's not just in the context of the state of Israel. There's something called generationism, where people believe that their generation is the superior generation. Every time generations take a leap forward, and Israel were taking a leap forward historically, but when generations take a leap forward technologically, scientifically, it's harder for people to appreciate that past generations had certain strengths and weaknesses, and our generation has certain strengths and weaknesses. Past generations had accomplishments and failures, and rather than just assuming that your generation is superior. So I think Rashi is highlighting a very deep psychological duality. Some people are so riveted to the past, it's hard for them to imagine a different future. Some people are so enticed by promises of current and future change and progress that it's hard for them to look back and respect the past and make it relevant. And the Parsha is asking us to have that hybrid or that fusion of the two. Hopefully I'll be able to record a little bit more, just not sure. This is a very busy day. Okay, another Rashi. I have another few minutes. I'm walking between the raindrops here trying to get some Rashis out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar, Torah says, Yisov Vivenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very interesting word, Yisov Vivenu. It's poetic, obviously. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu encircled us or surrounded us. There are a lot of extra letters, Yisov Vivenu, Yisov Vivenu. So Rashi picks up on all the extra letters, and he says there really are three types of encircling or encompassing. Sabavam Vikifam Bananim, Hashem encircled us with clouds, number one. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounded us bidigalim. We were surrounded on four different quadrants. There were flags when we had a machaneh. So there are two encirclings. One is a circle, one is a square, obviously. And then the Sabavam Bitakti Sahar Shekafu Alem Kegigas. And Hashem didn't just encircle us with clouds and didn't just square us off with flags, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu overhang us with the mountain. So we're enclosed within the mountain. So three different types of enclosures. The enclosure of the clouds, Hanani Akavo, Sukkos related, the enclosure of the flags, and the enclosure of Har Sinai. Why is Rashi, so to speak, struggling or toiling to find different types of encirclements or enclosures or encompassings? It seems as if Rashi is hitting on the three different points of Jewish identity, three different components of Jewish identity. To be a Jew means you belong to a people, national identity, historical consciousness, belonging, land, independent of religion, independent of... And then number two is, you accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authority, that he's your creator, that he's your master, that he's... And then finally, to be a full Jew, we have to translate that recognition, that religious recognition, that philosophical belief, that acceptance of heaven, into a lifestyle of Torah and mitzvahs, of Torah discipline and Torah study. And to be a complete Jew, you have all of those three components. Now, as I've said so often, Judaism is like an onion. There are layers. We shoot for the totality, but we have to recognize and validate partiality within people who are unable, based on personal deficiency, based on historical pressure, to at this stage in history, encompass all three. And Rashi is essentially describing the three types of enclosures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. He enclosed us with his hashgacha, with his providence, with his supervision, the Hanani HaKavod. And that allowed people to feel that they had a creator, a protector, an authoritative figure, a god, a master, a father, whatever you call it, to be Mekabel Malchus Shamayim in the general sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu enclosed us within the four flags of our peoplehood. There's nothing patently religious about the camp and the four flags, but we belonged, we had tribal identity, we had national identity, Jewish identity, flag identity. And then, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to Har Sinai and delivered the Torah and mitzvahs to us in a lifestyle, and an expectation of a certain lifestyle. So this word Yisov Vivenu essentially creates a three-part system of Judaism, and the three are meant to literally encircle our identity, encircle our experience. We are encircled by national identity. We are encircled by accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. We are encircled by Torah Mitzvahs, Yisov Vivenu, at the Hanani HaKavod, Yisov Vivenu with the four flags, Yisov Vivenu with Torah Mitzvos. And here's the point, each of these are just so powerful that they can be all-encompassing. And the trick is not to skip one. Torah, obviously, is so eternal, so broad, and so unlimited that it can be a total enclosure. But some people who study Torah don't have that sense, let's say, national identity so much, of the Jewish identity, of the Jewish calling, because Torah is just so exhaustive. Well, we certainly don't know people who are so deeply rooted in their Jewish identity, the flag encircling, that they, let's say, are not as theologically, religiously astute or attentive or attuned. And then there are people who are mekabel malchus shamayim, and they feel that that's enough of an enclosure. So it's not just there are three components to Jewish identity, to full religious consciousness, but those three components are each capable of creating a full enclosure. And the challenge is not to become enclosed in only one, but to be enclosed and encompassed in all three. So I think I'm going to stop now and put it up online because the way this day is going, I have a couple other Rashis I'd like to speak about, but I don't know that I'll have the time. Shabbat Shalom.